Listen, they're just going to play soft and sweet for a little. I want to pastor something here and encourage you. So if you ever find yourself in an atmosphere like this, please don't ever miss the opportunity. I've heard so much in the church and as a pastor, like people say, oh, the worship's too short, the worship's too long. It's what you make of it. It's what you give in the moment. The whole reason we're here is to meet with Him, to commune with Him, to connect with Him. So when you're in a time like this, it's so beautiful. None of this is a correction. We've done nothing wrong here tonight, man. This is so good. I just want every person to always make the most of every moment of praise. And it's a time to connect. It's a time to meet with Him. I mean, man, you could be feeling a little condemned and being deceived about some things, and yet you're looking at these words and you're listening to these songs, and come on, they're gospel. It's true. He's worthy. And there's a place in this atmosphere to say, you know what? You love me. You gave your life for me. It's not about you singing along. It's about you connecting with Him and meeting with Him and Him becoming more alive and more real in you than He's been before.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So it's just beautiful. Now they're up here singing Worthy of It All. And I just want to just share a little something that's on my heart while they're singing that, because that song tore me up last night too. It's one of my 100 favorite songs. I'm such a master. It's your fault.
Again.
It's the worship team you gave us, Lord. No, He's pretty good at making me a mess. I don't know how you think. I don't know. Don't ever read your Bible, please, like a history book. Read it to know Him. Read it because He's revealed there. And I've learned that the more that I see Him and the more that I find Him through His Word, the more I find who I am in Him. And I know 19 years ago, I was 3 days saved. And the Lord said to me at work, I was overwhelmed. He was talking to me in English, 3 days saved. I mean, that's like... And He said, Dan, I'm going to put revelations of my love and righteousness in you, and you're going to speak to many of my people. And I'm like, and He's just overwhelming me with this. And He says, however, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, only ever read your Bible to know me, and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. And I said, yes, sir. And I've been faithful to do that. I have never read my Bible for you. I've never read my Bible to preach. I've read my Bible to know you. And I've learned if you really get to know Him, you've got something to say. In fact, it's kind of hard to shut up.
Amen.
I'm in trouble already. Because He's worthy of it all. Why? This is the stuff I think about. I sit on my bed when you're not looking. I'll sit on my bed when I'm not preaching up front. I'll sit there and I'll think about this stuff, because you can let the gospel become an Easter story. You can let this just be about some man crucified on the cross, and you can know the storyline. But I'm sitting on my bed thinking about stuff like this. And when these guys are singing, you're worthy of it all, I'm thinking, who could be more worthy? We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about God. We're talking about the Creator of all, the one that was and is to come, the one that is there from the beginning, the one that nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. We're talking about the Lord. And yet He put Himself by the Holy Spirit inside the womb of a woman. He really did this. He sat in her womb for months. Like we sat in our mama's womb. Why? Because He had to come as a man. He had to do what He did as a man. He had to fulfill what man failed. He was the perfect sacrifice, the captain of our salvation. He was tempted at all points, yet He didn't sin. He modeled the life we were created for. He's more than our Savior. He's our model for life. He showed us what life looks like. But here's my point. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord. And He brings Himself down and puts Himself in the womb of a woman. Grows there and comes through her birth canal. That's intense. He's God. There must be something about men that He knows. There must be something about people. Either He's desperate and lonely for a friend, or He knows something about our potential. Come on, do you think this way?
He put himself inside a woman and was born as a man. Made himself of no reputation, laid down his glory, and came and called himself continually the Son of Man. Did nothing but right the whole time. Didn't make one wrong turn. Got unappreciated, got misread, got judged, and crucified as a blasphemer. And the whole time, he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
He must know something about us, people. This thing is too ridiculous. It's too much of a fairy tale. It sounds too good to be true. There has to be a root and a value to our potential that he's shooting for. This isn't about you ending up in some space and place sometime down the road called heaven. This is about you getting back to what you were created to be and not letting anything else speak louder than truth. And becoming a living, expressed product of his in his work. Not a singing Christian, a shining light, a burning lamp, a love machine, a peacemaker, sons and daughters of God. Come on, this thing is too radical. God became a man. He didn't pop into the wilderness at age 30, busting ready to roll. He was born of a woman in a manger. Nurtured, had to be nursed by her. She had to change those little things that weren't huggies. Think with me. Totally dependent on his mother. He came as a man. He must know something about men for God to bring himself to the earth and come in the likeness of sinful flesh. He must know we were made more than sinful flesh. He must have known it was worth becoming what we were so we could be once again what he is, sons and daughters of the King. Man, this thing is more than about your forgiveness. It's more than about the healing of your body. It's about the transformation of your life and the restoration of your created value, your identity, your purpose, and your legacy. This thing is so much more than God blessing us. It's Jesus coming through a woman and saying, this is what men are created to be. Now follow me. If we couldn't, he wouldn't ask us to. What do you think he's playing charades? Do you think he said, follow me, and now they're sitting laughing and howling because we tried? What, they're actually trying? He said, follow me because we can. We can be humble. We can repent. The pure in heart will see God. It must mean we can live pure. We can have motives that are only for him. We can have motives that are for others. We can truly deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him, or it wouldn't be the word of God. This is not about your blessing. It's about your restoration to truth. It's about your redemption back to original value. The word redeemed means brought back or bought back to original value. It's about you living as if man never ate that tree. It's about you living as if you never ate that tree. Watch this. It's about you living as if no one ever did you wrong, because he did you so right. He taught you who you are. That thing that did you wrong was just the weakness of flesh that came in and did you wrong. And because you had your heart set on that thing, it broke your heart. And then it defined you. And it might have even robbed a long time of your life. And my heart for you, friend, is your eyes are on the wrong thing. I'm sorry they made the decision they made. I truly am sorry that people hurt people. But here's the deal. Why do we have to be hurt now that he's come? My identity doesn't rest in what you've done or haven't done for me. My identity rests in his finished work. And I have finally found who I am through him. I don't just sing to him. I follow him. Are you following me? And you're going, what happened to you 5 years ago, still be who you are today. Paul said, the one thing I do, you read it, Pastor. He didn't say the three things. He narrowed it down to one. He said, the one thing I do, I put behind me, and I go after him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we've been touched wrong. I'm sorry that the strategy of sin has schemed against us to hurt us, to bind us, to rob us. But I'm more sorry that if we don't believe the truth now that it's come, I wish we didn't have to go through some of the things we went through. But we did go through them, didn't we? There ain't a person in this room that don't have a story. But it isn't your story that makes you who you are. It's his story that makes you who you are. And it ain't about what you've been through anymore. It's about what he's been through. The real you is found through him, not the wrong that's been done to you. Why would you let that wrong speak louder than truth? And why would you become a product of the sin committed against you instead of the righteous act committed for you? Do not be deceived. Your life is worth the blood. Don't let the actions of another define you. Let the actions of Christ teach you who you are.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Amen.
Forgive me for the passion, but I'm telling you what, if he's willing to sit in a womb for 9 months and come through a birth canal, I can get a little passion. I pulled my car over years ago to pray for a lady walking up the street. I've done it often. She was turning in an alley. She was walking like this. And I saw her and I said, and I whipped into the alley and I jumped out. I said, don't be afraid now. I said, you're hurting. What's wrong with your feet? What? She said, oh, it's plantar fasciitis and it's getting so bad. I can't even get out of bed in the mornings and walk. It's like I'm walking on glass. And she said, it's a little better now. I said, oh man, it don't look better. She said, it's really painful. She said, why are you asking? I said, because I want to pray for you. And she said, you parked your car to pray? I said, honey, stop. That's not radical. That's normal. A man innocent died as guilty so I could be filled with his spirit and pull over my car to pray for you. The man dying that's innocent for the guilty, that's radical. Me parking my car, that's a given.
Come on.
And she went, and I said, thank you for that. I knelt down. It messes people up when you kneel down in the cinder alley on your knees and touching your feet. Oh, it messes people up. Jesus' name, tears rolling down my eyes. I said, go ahead and take a few steps. She said, oh, I said, what he did. Oh, he's hell. It was like a movie. I got in my car and drove away. It's like, who was that unmasked man? Is that an angel? No. It's Christ in me.
Yes.
It's love flowing.
Glory.
Come on. If I'm driving and I got issues and I'm still worried about who did what and didn't do what, I don't even see her, let alone stop. And if I don't have a healthy identity and I'm just still damaged goods, I don't think God will even move through me anyway, so why bother? Come on, I'm getting real with you right now. Knowing who you are is the biggest deal of your life. You are called to be so productive in your life in the realm of love. I'm not talking about just healing. I'm talking about love.
Yes.
I'm talking about walking in the mall and that little girl walking out past the door and you don't even know her and you're in a hurry and you got to shop and you got to get home and you just say, hey, these aren't analogies. These are stories that really happened. Hey, stop thinking what you're thinking. Your life's valuable, girl. Jesus has his eye fixed on you. Kiddo, don't you do anything foolish. Your life is worth its blood. You be well, you hear? God already told me she's thinking suicide and right now. She said, well, shouldn't you have prayed for her? Absolutely not. We just dropped the Holy Ghost drive-by bomb. She's going to be fine.
Hallelujah.
I ain't joking. I turned in the mall. I took 10 steps. This black woman and her daughter was coming down the hall, the steps. And I said, whoa. She looked. I said, oh, my goodness, ma'am. I'm sorry. Don't think I'm weird. But when I walk by you, I perceive the love that God has for you in my heart. She said, you what? I said, yes, because this morning you've been overwhelmed and you've said this and you said that. She said, oh, she opened the door. Do you hear this, man? Do you hear this, man? She said, I hear it, mama. I hear it, mama. I said, the man is Jesus. He knows you and loves you and you have more than hope. Sweetheart, let me pray. Oh, she said, oh! Run the ball.
Come on.
You're worthy of it all.
Yes.
True one. He did not do what he did to just make a place and a seat for you someday when a trumpet blows.
That's right.
That's what we teach again and again in this country. And we stay hurt and frustrated and jealous and competitive. And we go to church, but we don't look like him. If we don't understand, you be real with me. Why would God just pay for a place for you to sit someday and not let you look like him? If that's why he made you. Because when you look in the Bible, the reason he made you is to look like him. Let us make man in our image, and in the likeness and image of God, he made man. Now, you think if I really believe that, I'm going to have people issues today? Not a chance, friend. I'm a believer. Oh, I'm so happy. You know why I'm happy? I'm in the world and not of the world. Not afraid to be in the world. So he gave us these great and precious promises. These great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1. Great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious. That through them, it doesn't say they have full backs and arms. That through them, 2 Peter 1, you can look at it, around verse 5, somewhere around there. He gave us these great and precious promises that through them we would partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. He's not talking about pornography. Lust means self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. We're Christians. We've escaped the perversion of the world. The twist that comes from lust, self-centered seeking. Deny yourself. You were made for his image, not yourself. If you put metal in a microwave, of course you'll destroy it. Read the manufacturer's handbook. A microwave was not made for metal.
That's right.
You live for yourself, of course you'll destroy your life. Read the manufacturer's handbook. You were not made for you. You were made for his image.
Man.
Come on. This thing is awesome. The gospel. Oh, man. I feel the gospel all over me again. And it ain't my fault. He's worthy of it all. I sat on my bed countless hours when you weren't looking and said, keep teaching me who you are. Keep forming my heart in you. Keep making me like you. Let this light shine so bright that when men meet me and see me, they have to get a good look at you. I want to look like my nothing. I don't pray for blessings, provision, breakthrough, more money, my boss to change, my kids to shape up. I thank God he's got his hand on the things that concern me. But what I want is more of him flowing through my life. You say, well, shouldn't we pray for our children? Man, pray for your children. But make sure you're not letting where your children are determine where you are. Or you better get a good grip on where you're praying from. Because there's no faith even in your prayers. You don't let a thing decide you. You let him decide you. So you pray from authority and faith. Come on, I'm trying to teach you something here on this. I watch too many people cry out because of despair instead of cry out because of promise and destiny and purpose. You guys all right, or am I too, like, way off the hook tonight? It's her fault. Whoever's doing that. Are you all right? Are you tired? Are you okay? Okay, you're amazing. That's what you are. You're more than good. Thank you guys so much for being here. I didn't plan on all this and her planning all the time, but it sure revs me up. It's fun. Music's awesome. And when you got good folks that love Jesus behind you, that's a pretty easy role right there. You think with me. You really think with me. Either this is just a story in a fairy tale, where God sent his son and his son went inside a woman and was born of that woman. Nursed by her and raised by her. He sweated. He got hungry. He had to poop. Go to the bathroom. But he was God. Yeah. But he chose to become everything a man is to pay the perfect, complete price for man so that once he died, we could go free. Now, come on, why would he do that just to be nice and take us into some mysterious place someday? He did that to get the truth back on us. He did that to get us back to what we were in the first place before sin ever happened. He did that for redemption. Are you guys following me? The Bible says he's the captain of our salvation, the perfect sacrifice, that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh but never sinned. So he fulfilled what man failed. And what was killing us, he became on the cross. And God cursed sin in the flesh, so sin shall have no dominion over you. You say, yeah, but you don't know where I've been and what I've done. But what about where he's been and what he's done? When are you going to let him wash you and make you clean and forgive you and not look behind you and do the one thing Paul said and go after him?
Hallelujah.
Come on, it ain't about what you missed yesterday. It's about what you believe. If you fix on what you believe today and grow in that, you'll see what you missed yesterday change real quick.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of you know my buddy Todd. Todd White. Who knows who Todd is? My buddy Todd. He's a son to me in the faith. God sent him to me. 22 years a drug addict. He was a train wreck. He was a perpetual blow-up, mess-up bastard case, man. Hurt everybody around him. Stole, robbed, lied, cheated. And lived at the expense of everybody in his life. And one day he realized that he was empty and lost and hurt. Everybody said he loved him. He came to church suicidal with a loaded gun and said, if I don't find God today, I'm going to kill myself. And God told me to come to this church to talk to someone. I said, I'm glad you came.
Yeah.
Because I got an answer for him. And he started talking to me and telling me all his horror stories and all his trouble. And I kept interjecting and cutting him off because you think you got to tell your story. Sometimes it's important to listen. And I'm a good listener, believe it or not. I actually learn because you hear the heart of people through their words. But in situations like that, you don't have to tell me every detail of every night you were out, every horror you committed, and every sin you've been through. You don't have to go there. I get the point. Drug addict for 22 years. I already got enough right there. He kept trying to tell me the horror stories, and I kept cutting him off and telling him Jesus. And he said, I never said the word dude till I met him. He imparted that into my life. He said, dude, you're not even listening to where I've been and what I've done. And I leaned in and said, dude, you're not listening to where he's been and what he's done. And the problem is you think you are where you've been and what you've done. But the truth is you are where he's been and what he's done. So listen carefully.
did, he cried and cried. And he said, it's not a good testimony. I try to shake around it sometimes, but I hear it in the public and I just say, oh, there's a lot of something. He said, I never met anybody like it. And I'm thinking, well, you just never bumped into Jesus. He told me his life is Christianity. He said, I'm hating Christians because I've never seen anybody even look remotely like I'd want to be like. He said, everybody that told me I needed to change was just talking about my drugs, but they were just as angry and mean and treacherous as me. They just didn't do crap. That was his church experience, his Christian experience. He didn't want nothing to do with Christianity. He told me straight out. He said, I never wanted Jesus because I couldn't see him anymore. He went home that night with his rock band, heavy metal, head banging, screaming kind of thing he was doing. And he told them, listen guys, I'm going to pass a joint around. The day he talked to you, didn't you lead him to the Lord? I gave him. He said, well, why was he smoking pot? Because some sow and some water and God wrecks. Stop thinking that you got to get everything immediately on the phone.
Come on.
He was smoking pot the day he talked to him. A lot of effect that had, Pastor. Well, you look at his life, if you know who he is, it had a whole lot of effect. God's taking him to the nations. He's working hand in hand with Reinhard Bonnke. He has had so many countless ridiculous things happen through his life. It's beautiful. He's just a love bomb, man. He went there and he said, listen, guys, man, I'm going to start following Jesus. They said, following Jesus? They said, Jesus ain't real. He's fake. People just make him up because they're weak and they lean on him. Come on, man, you don't need Jesus. He said, no, man, he's real. He ain't real. Yeah, he's real. I seen him today. You saw Jesus today. Yes, I did. He was in a man. And if he lived in that man, he can live in me. I'm going to get to know him.
Yes, Lord.
He called me crying. I'm messing up, man. I just used crack last night. Man, I'm messing up. I said, man, you're being changed. I said, let me tell you who you are. What do you mean, man? I was using. I know, you called me broken. When's the last time you were broken using? Never. When'd you ever care about doing drugs? You already planned to do the next drugs before the other ones was gone. Now you're calling me broken and crying. The gospel's changing. You're being made pure. This thing's about to die.
Yeah.
See, well, you need deliverance. Well, you need this. Well, he needs righteousness. He needs a right understanding. He needs to see who he is through Christ so he can separate himself from the law.
Come on.
We're trying to change fruit, and he said, make the tree good. Come on, guys. Jesus is a good tree, can't bear bad fruit. We go, introspect our tree and judge our fruit. And then we mark our tree based on our assessment. We say, wait a minute, I got some bad fruit. I can't be a good tree. I don't know if I'm saying, you must be a bad tree. I got some bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Ah! And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Wait a minute, though. Not everything's bad. I do good things, right? Ah! Therefore, you know a tree by it. Guess what he's talking about the whole time? He's talking about the tree. Guess what we hear? Fruit. The whole time he's talking about a tree. So he says, either make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. Listen, friend, the way you see yourself is your tree. And it will produce the fruit accordingly. And the fruit will justify your belief, and the cycle will go on. You wake up and believe you're forgiven,
And you thank God you're forgiven when nobody's looking. Guess what you'll live? Forgiven. Guess what will happen? The veil will come off your face and you'll be a bride. That's you too, man.
I look so good in my dress. He's liking me a lot. He made me purr. Yay!
Yeah.
Come on! If you believe you're a son, you'll live like a son. If you believe that he loves you, you'll live confident and secure.
Yes.
To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know. It's a deeper word than gnosis. It's like an epinosis, but it's not actually the word. But it's an experiential knowing and understanding. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what the word fullness means? A house with no empty rooms. A town with no empty houses. A ship completely full of cargo with no space to place another box. That makes you a house complete and fulfilled. A no vacancy sign flashing over you. Not for sale. Already occupied. Remember the man that got delivered from the demon and the spirit came back after wandering through dry places? He looked and saw the place clean and swept and unoccupied. Well, no identity, no fulfillment through his love. Just stealing matter, clean and swept, unoccupied, unfulfilled is what that means. Vulnerable. Come knocking on my door. House with no empty rooms. You get it? Well, this is why he came, people. This is why he's worthy of it all. When we were living for no value, he saw the value. When you were getting it all wrong, he saw what was right. When people were out there hurting you and double-crossing you and you were putting all your faith and confidence in them, he didn't get hurt and offended like you were getting hurt and offended because you weren't loving him. He just said, man, you're more than this. And I'm going to woo you till you see who you are. Come on. We put our heart on things way beyond Jesus. And he didn't get jealous and offended. Where sin abounded, grace came even greater. What a God, huh? What a gospel. No wonder you love him so much. It's what he does for us. He shows me who I am. Shows you who you are. You make a tree good. The fruit's good. Let me tell you what that looks like. You wake up in the morning. Father, I thank you for another day. I thank you life is a gift. I thank you that you see me through the cross. And that's not an excuse for sin. That's a reason to be free from it. I thank you I'm sanctified, God. I thank you that you love me. You have nothing but favor towards me and empowerment today and grace to shine. Father, when you look at me, you don't see past failures. You see potential and destiny. You're here to empower me, be everything you created me to be. The blood is speaking better things over me than the blood of Abel. I'm not marked for my failures. I'm marked for your righteousness. God, I'm a good tree. The planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. I continue in you and I keep my eyes fixed on you. And no matter what men say, no matter what men see, don't believe, I see you and you're good. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for putting all that you are inside of me. Holy Spirit, I embrace you and welcome you and thank you for being my best friend. Wisdom of God, speak to me today. Lead me in truth and reveal Christ to me and through me. What a day we're going to have, Father. Thanks for loving me.
Yes.
That's called making a tree good. Or you wake up, God, I don't know if my kids are going to be okay today. And I'm so afraid. My spouse has been so mean to me. And I don't know if I can take another day at work. God, why is everything falling apart? Because your eyes are on you and everything but truth. And now you've got five reasons for not being where you should be, which is already a level of condemnation. because you're aware you're not where you should be, but you're justifying your position, but your reasons aren't Lord. So throw them away. Come on, that's not too strong. That's just helpful. You didn't wake up to be evil this morning, nor yesterday. Come on, I found that we aren't evil folks purposing wrong. We just get deceived and walk in a lack of understanding sometimes and buy into lies and make mistakes. And then when you make them, that devil's right there to tell you you're a dog, a bum, a hypocrite, insane. What a liar. If what you're thinking and believing isn't building you up and encouraging you, it can't be from Jesus. Because he gives life and life even more. The word abundant life means excessively violent life. That's what it means. I give you life and life more abundantly. It means excessively violent life. Violently excessive. If what you're thinking isn't encouraging your heart, it's not coming from Jesus.
And if your sails ain't up ready for the wind, you ain't thinking right. Come on.
Don't justify your flesh, please. Don't just look for people that understand your pain. It's not going to help you. It's going to give you permission to stay there. And you won't be free. And you'll miss the season of redemption you're in. That's a strong heating right there in the morning. I don't give that stuff too much. That's how it harsh and sharp, but in my heart I can see that's Father talking to a couple of folks. You do not need a justification to stay where you are if where you are isn't producing life. You are being robbed, believing the wrong thing at the cost of destiny. And then what are you saying? I ain't going to heaven? Stop making heaven the carrot. Heaven on earth is the goal. The kingdom of God is here.
Yes.
Go preach saying, it's here. Where is it?
It's in you.
That's right.
Come on, if every promise is to the believer, every sign is to the believer, and every manifestation of the finished work is to the believer, if you were the devil, wouldn't you mess with the belief system of the church? Wouldn't you try to blind people and make people miss the point? Wouldn't you try to turn the tables and make it all about them and let them sing it's all about him? Well, I said it the first night. If you're walking around discouraged, you got your focus on you and how things are affecting you in the moment, and you've lost sight of who he is and why. I'm not being insensitive when I preach like that. I'm being real. When I understand things, try us and test us. I had witchcraft come at my life right after I was a pastor. See, some of you don't understand that stuff. That's why there's passion in me. We had witches coming to our church, people freaking out. And, oh my God, that's a witch. Do you know who that is? I'm like, man, you want to be poked there at the church.
Yeah.
Why do you need to go intercede in the back room and make them so powerful and prove to them you're afraid? Why don't you keep your eyes on Jesus and worship him if you believe he's king? Why would a witch walk into a church when everybody knows it's a witch? She's not a witch anyway. She's just misguided and misunderstanding. She's just given to the wrong things. They'll walk into church like that. Why? Because they've learned that we're intimidated and our natural knowledge eats us alive. And during worship, you're singing, looking out of this eye at her, wondering what she's doing. And you don't even have your eyes on Jesus. You're fixed on her. And she dominates the whole atmosphere because everybody's worried about her. And they're all singing to the Lord and watching her. That's why they do it. And the best thing you can do is forget she's there. Just be glad she's there. And just worship the King and let his holy presence come and capture everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Say, oh my God, you know who she is. All of a sudden, intercessors and the leaders of prayer want to go downstairs and hold hands and pray in tongues. Why? Make it more powerful. Go ahead if you want to.
should already be in a place when you come to terms, right? Where he's just king. Well, I'm the one saying everybody chill, be glad they're here, we're preaching the gospel. Well, I seem to be a target for some reason, and people say, well then, how can that thing touch you? If you're walking in righteousness and evil one touches him not, how can that thing slip through and how can that thing get a hold of you? And I told people time and time again, look into my eyes and tell me if it's touching me. Because you think what you're going through is touching you. No, what you believe about what you're going through is what's touching you. Because I had an evil spirit walk into my bedroom. You might not have ever had that happen. God didn't mind letting it happen. Because he knew I was going to grow leaps and bounds, and he knew it was going to make me like this. So he just let him walk in there. God would never let that happen to a new believer. God won't let you be tempted more than you can bear. God would have shut him down when I let him manifest in my bedroom. He arrogantly came in my bedroom and he said, I've come to put... I was reading a book and perceived him and looked up. He was standing by my bed. I know these stories freak people out. And I said, who are you? I felt so saved in his presence. Whoa! I was so born again. Dear, are you kidding me? I was so saved in his presence. When he stood there and manifested, I realized that he had nothing to do with me and I had nothing to do with him. And I said, who are you and what do you have to do with me? What do I have to do with you? I lifted my hands high, dropped my book on my lap and said, I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Ah! You think, oh my God, I've been bought. Stop it. Jesus is Lord. What are you so afraid of? Dying? Wrong, you never will.
Yeah.
Dude, this is awesome preaching. You're on the edge of your seat. You're listening. This thing arrogantly said, I've come to put sickness in your leg and you will now lose your leg. And I burst out laughing like a hyena and said, you're a liar from the beginning. Now I know I won't lose my leg. There's no truth in you. See? Maybe I got to tell you a few of these stories so you see what's wrong with me. This whole spirit world is free. Jesus just happens to be Lord of all. You know what else? He said, it's home to me. And yeah, I've been through trials. Yeah, I've seen my wife hit hard. Yeah, I've seen my kids make some bad mistakes. Yeah, I lost a couple of loved ones along the way. Yeah, I've had my trials. As you can see, it ain't affected me. It made me more for him than ever before. Yeah? Yeah. So I might be the wrong person for you to tell your story to. Because I'm not insensitive, I just understand. Yeah, I bet I did. I picked up my book and went to read. I don't have answers for this stuff. I went to read and I couldn't see no letters on the page. It was one big blur. My last eye test was 2010. That lady said, at your age? I said, don't give me age. I'm in the kingdom. We've studied a fallen man and we all buy in. What's 52 look like in the kingdom?
Probably a little different than 52 on the earth.
Maybe we're buying into lies. Maybe we're following everybody else's path. But we're buying into the whole old aging degeneration and we're more susceptible to this age than that age. Maybe we've done too much natural study. Maybe we believe that stuff in everybody's experience instead of finished work with Christ. Maybe we're vulnerable, vulnerability is fear. Maybe we live because we think we're next in line. Oops. I'm on you now, I know. I threw a lot out there. It's probably wasn't fair, but it's shot out of me. I picked up my book and I couldn't see a word on the page. And this voice said in a taunting voice, ah, maybe I'll blind you instead. And Chris, I'll be honest,
I got mad at that thing like a man gets mad at a man. And if I could have seen it like standing in front of me, I could just feel it here. I felt it and I was punching in the mouth. I would never even dream of punching you. But I felt like punching that thing, man. But that ain't my answer. That's not how you win. But I just kind of like murmur, you know, falling devils, man, devils. And I shut my book and I hit my touch lamp and I rolled over in bed. Because I told it to go and I felt it, oh, it just left the room. Devils. I laid down in bed. I woke up in the morning and worshiped Jesus. I just loved him from my bed. That's normal. Didn't even move. Just conscious of him. And I went to move and something didn't feel right. And I had no use of my leg. It was like vomit. Zero use of my leg. I went to get out of bed and it was completely gone. A big smile came on my face and I stood to my feet on one leg. I said, "You are my..." It was like any other morning. And I drug myself to the bathroom. I got in the bathroom and that thing showed up in the bathroom. I started to feel dizzy and nauseous. And it said, maybe I'll give you a stroke instead. And I felt like I was passing out. And I sat on the tub. And I said, "Lord, I tell you what, I'm done talking to devils. I'm done talking to fallen spirits cut off to their branches. I don't believe their lies. I don't fear a thing. You're my God and you're my King. And I put my trust in you. And I thank you for the cross." And I started getting violent and militant. Next thing I know, my wife said, "Honey, honey, are you okay?" And I'm leaning, she said, against the bathroom wall. My face is white and withdrawn. And she said, "I look like I was dead." And it was funny. I love these stories. I don't even know. I was just there like that. She said, "Are you okay?" She said, I smiled. Imagine that. She said, I smiled and said in the softest voice, "Oh, honey, I'm fine. You know the devil's just a liar. Jesus is my King." Man, I don't even remember it. It's just in me. I'm so brainwashed. My brain is so washed.
Yeah.
So what it means to love not your own life unto death. There ain't nothing wrong with me. My heart is doing well. She started to walk me to the couch and I couldn't go nowhere because my legs were rubber. She says, "There's something wrong with your leg?" I said, "It's just another lie." She said she watched my face come alive halfway through the room. I'm a pretty aggressive fella and I ain't shy and I just worshipped him and his presence. It was fascinating because his presence just swallowed me up and I was thinking, man, I'm going to run now, and I still couldn't move my leg. But that dizzy thing left, my face got flushed and I looked alive and she said, "Wow," and I said, "That's my King." 4 days went by. The thing was swelled up. It was twice the size of my other leg. It was full of pain. I couldn't use it at all. Some of the most reputable, respected men in my life sat me down for a meeting. And they said, "Dan, we're concerned for you. You're ashamed to go to a doctor. You're filled with spiritual pride. You don't want this on your testimony and resume. And you're afraid that going to the doctor is going to affect your message." And I went, huh? Like none of that even dawned on me. And that's what these men got their heads together and came up with. Scary when men get their heads together. Here's what happened. They care for me. They love me. They respect me. They're sentimental. They're empathetic. And they're afraid for me. What they didn't understand is I'm not afraid. So they're telling me I'm in pride. And I'm not against doctors. I took my wife to the emergency room. I told you a little bit of a story. I'm maybe going to trouble people not in the sermon. I'm not against doctors. I've never in my life preached against doctors. Man, I tell people, if you're afraid you're going to die, call 911. But if you believe you're not, leave me alone.
Come on.
And don't tell me I should call 911. You have your faith, then let me have my faith. Don't tell me I'm in spiritual pride. Look, you take me into Sunday school when I'm real little and tell me these ridiculous stories. And then when I'm old enough to believe them and need to, you tell me to use wisdom. Who how to use wisdom has stopped the power of God more than you'll ever realize until that day. Listen to me carefully. It was witchcraft. It was a demonic spirit. I don't need pharmaceuticals and I don't need 911. They're not my answer in this case. I didn't fall and break my leg. It's a demon spirit trying to assault my body. I don't need a diagnosis. Here's what I didn't understand. Because I respected those men, what they said got into me. And I started to question, am I in spiritual pride? And when you're in a battle like this, and in this kind of war, you can't have questions. You have to have answers. Oh, I've been through some stuff. I could tell you stories all night. Intense, radical stuff. With me, but he happens to be Lord, and I believe it, and I'm not afraid to die, friend. It is never about me dying, hurting, limping. It ain't even about pain. I had more pain in my body than I thought was possible, and you couldn't touch my heart. These pastors sat me down and said, but Dan, look at your leg. I said, when do you men ever stand in the pulpit and preach to look at your circumstance? You do the opposite. You get the drumbeat. You get the, yeah, God has set up. And you say, never look at what you see. Because what you see is subject to change. But what you don't see is eternal. Never look at your circumstance. And now, behind closed doors, you're telling me to do what you would never preach. I was all alone, I'm a good friend. That night, for 2 hours, I rebuked the Holy Spirit to know that I was so engaged in warfare. And he didn't let me know it was him in a heartbeat. He was so enjoying my tenacity, he just let me stay engaged. I was like, you're amazing. He didn't go to the throne. Dan just rebuked me. This voice came and said, go to the hospital, go to the hospital, go to the hospital, go to the hospital. Kept telling me, go to the hospital. I bind you. This ain't about no hospital. Father, I thank you. I have an answer through Jesus. God, I think I just preached the gospel. So Holy Spirit said, I want you to go to the hospital. I'm like, God. And all of a sudden he went, psst. Dan, this is me. I want you to go to the hospital. I went, and I just knew it was the Lord. And I went, Lord, and you ain't never seen me this way. I would bow to you. Go to the hospital. I would go. And I went and woke up my wife. And I said, it was so intense that night, the pain in me and the warfare. My daughter came down to help pray and stand with me, got overwhelmed and ran to her bedroom. That's how serious this thing can be sometimes. You say, Dan, that's. And when this was all over, I cried on my bed for over an hour. And I said, Lord, are we even ready for adversity and warfare? Do we even understand what surrender looks like? And loving not our own lives? Or are we just praying for a break and blessing? I told my wife, we got to go to the hospital. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I don't know why. I don't even understand. I don't want to go, but I know it's the Lord. She said, I trust you know it's the Lord. You're a man of God. I respect you, Dan. Let's go. She took me, and I'm pouting out the window the whole time. So I'm going through the parking lot of the hospital, and now I'm going into emergency. It's 4 in the morning. Now the folks dressed in white, they're looking at me now. I'm in trouble because they see my leg. Whoa, this guy's in trouble. Guess what God does? I go through the doors of the emergency room and the Spirit of the Lord overcame me. And I'm just not ashamed of Him. And I say, I love you. Yeah, I love you too. I worship you. And He said in an amazing voice, see, Dan, you weren't too proud to come. I went, you were so wise. I said, Kimmy, We're not supposed to be here. I said he just wanted to get me past. I was believing I had spiritual pride. He just wanted me to prove to my own self that I didn't have pride. Let's go. We can go home now. And I started heading back to the car. And man, I got surrounded by people that were talking to me like I'm a little kid. When adults talk to an adult like they're a little kid, guess what they think? They think you're gone. And I said, ladies, I appreciate your love for me. But I can hear you talking to me like I'm a little child. You think I'm out of my mind. No, this thing is way beyond what you have the ability to realize in this moment and think. It's fine, I'll be fine, I need to go. But sir, while you're here, it wouldn't hurt to at least check you out and see what. We realize you have faith, we respect that. It's like they're luring me, and I'm like, oh, to this day, I still believe I should have went. I look at my wife, it wasn't her fault, her big brown eyes is looking at me, and she loves me, and she's thinking, well, it wasn't her. So I go back in that little cubicle, and they got me in my little gown, they tie them from the back, you know, it's messed up. And I'm sitting there, this doctor lady comes in, she's a doctor, she wasn't a nurse, and she asked me questions about my life. And apparently the symptoms, and she said, sir, I have to ask you some confidential questions. And she said, have you been involved in any infidelity, any sexual activity outside of your marriage? And I said, no. She said, sir, I need you to be honest. Have you this? Have you? I said, stop. I said, look in my eyes. I'm a man of God. And the answer to all your questions is no, not a chance. Not every man is like you think. Doctor, because the Spirit of God came through my eyes right into her heart. She apologized for asking me those questions and felt like not true. And I said, it's okay, sweetheart. I'm just telling you, my life is full of integrity and there's no secrets about me. You're not going to read about me tomorrow in the paper. There's nothing to hide. See, I live that way. You ought to, too. Most of the church thinks everybody has their secrets. You're wrong. You walk in the light as he's in the light, and you have open fellowship with one another.
I read that book. It messed me up.
They ran a sample of my leg and did some stuff and took off one of these cultures. So I'm sitting there, and this doctor walks in. And this doctor says, are you Mr. Mulder? Yes, ma'am, I am. It's come to my attention that you've been in this condition for at least 4 days. Yes, ma'am. Would you mind trying to explain to me why a man in your condition would wait 4 days to seek medical attention? I'll do my best. But at this point, I don't think it's going to fly too good. I'll do my best. She let me talk for 20 seconds. And I was trying to be humble and gracious and explain and not lose her. She didn't give me about 30 seconds. She cut me off, looked me dead in the eyes. Remember what I heard 4 days before? I've come to put sickness in your leg, and you were what? Guess what this doctor looked me in the eyes and did? Let me tell you something, Mr. Mueller. You are obviously a man with no regard or value for for you to wait these 4 days with a condition like this is unthinkable and unexplainable to me. And because you've waited these 4 days, we have strong reason to believe you have such and such, and you will now lose your leg. And I burst out laughing. And I said, I am so sorry to put you in this position. I am so sorry to make you think I'm dishonoring you. But it's not my leg to lose, and it ain't yours to take. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. She's gathered her clipboard. She's thinking, we're going to take his leg, and then we're going to work on his mind. And she turned to leave, totally offended at me. And I leaned out, and I grabbed her coat. And I said, look at me, ma'am. I said, I'm sorry you're in this position. I shouldn't even be here. I said, here's the problem. Look in my eyes. There's something you don't see in me that you see every day of your life. It's called fear. Wonder if I'm not afraid. Wonder if I'm not out of my mind. I'm just not afraid. Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I stayed there. They ran all these tests. Stuff happened. I said, Lord, would you just deliver me? Take this thing off my leg. Man, cause this thing to shrink. If I did this kind of flea market prayer thing, this is weird. And I said, you know me, Lord. I'll jump out of this bed and I'll go down the hall. I'll pray for every person in this hospital. I'll dance down the hall. I'll do whatever. You deliver this thing, God, and I will let them know who you are. He said, why cries out to me? Raise your staff and split the sea. I said, nurse, I need to go. Discharge me. Write up my papers. I'm not supposed to be here. But sir, it's not one of you. Shh. Write my discharge papers. Wheeled me in a wheelchair to the car. I couldn't even walk. I went home. First day I was home, the Lord said, go take a ride on your bike. I said, really? He said, yep. Dragging on my wife, said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go take a ride on my bike. She looked at me with this wife look that was like, you know, I respect you and I believe you hear God, but are you hearing God? It was amazing. I got on my bike and I could ride because of the momentum of pedaling. Just, I was able to ride somehow. It just didn't make sense, but I was able to ride. While I was riding, I looked over, and this boy's on the porch. He's going in his house. He's young. I said, oh, and I went back, and I drug up on the porch and knocked on the door. And I said, the man answered, and I said, sir, there's a young man. He was just very hurting. He's something's wrong with his back. It's so bad. My heart, I'm walking through my own stuff, and but I had a heart about it. He said, he's my son. He said, he's got this terrible condition. We're scheduled to go on the mission field. We're not thinking he can go now. I said, sir, bring him to the door. Here I am again. My leg doesn't define who I am. My leg doesn't define who he is. Who he is defines everything. You say, well, you're a hypocrite. You're not even healed. How do you know I'm not a hypocrite? When I pray for him, I prove that I believe in healing, and I'm not letting my leg define my belief. I'm letting his word decide what I believe. That boy came to the door, and I said, son, I want to pray for you. Can I please? He said, sure. You stopped to pray? I said, man, that's not radical. That should be. And God completely restored his back in the door. And the dad just cried and cried. They prayed over me. And I got on my bike and I left. I still can't walk. Next day, I get up. It's church. I don't want to go to church. Because it's hard to get a shower. It's hard to get dressed. And everybody loves me. And when I go walking in here, they pour oil all over me and pray for me. And everybody focuses on me. And I just didn't want to do that. I thought, I'm staying home. And Jesus said, no, you're going to church. I said, really? He said, go. Okay, I did everything. My family's waiting for me in the car. I walk up to the hutch. It's so hard to get around. I got nothing, man. It's dead. I reached for my keys. Spirit of God, like a shaft of lightning or energy, just went. And I went ballistic. I ran, I jumped, I spun.
Lord! I ran out into the driveway of my family's door. What's going on? My neighbors hear that stuff. Ah! And they look. What's going on? Austin, Jesus is Lord. And I was freaking out. And I started walking up the hill. And my brother came running. What are you doing, Dad? I'm walking to church. He said, I'm with you, Dad.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
Just when I was healed, when Jesus shed his blood and rose from the dead, guess when it started working in me? When I refused to get my eyes on the problem and kept my eyes on him and didn't let my leg define me, who's in me defines me, and my leg will submit to who he is. I ain't changing my mind.
Yes.
He who believes and does not doubt in his heart. My best friends in ministry were trying to talk me out of faith and didn't even know what they were doing. Jesus. You got to tell some of these stories so you understand my passion. He's very real. He's way too real for me to get stumbled over life and people and things. And the more you let him become real, the more you won't stumble over what stumbled you before. You settle in your heart, I'm on the earth for one reason, to follow him and look like him and let his name be known through my life. My one life is worth his blood, and my one life can make a difference. We've been almost taught our whole lives not to believe that. We think special gifts, special callings, special graces. I told you Friday, you all have the same price tag. That means you all have the same value. John said, let every mountain be down and every valley be up. Why? Because we're all in the same field, the same playing field. Never ground. Ain't no high life and low life. We all need the blood, and we're all created to be his and be like him. Carry it. You guys with me tonight?
Yes, yes.
I don't know how I got into all that. I don't even know what you got out of that, but man, I sure got on a roll and went there, and I told a long story and a long testimony. It's not to boast in who I am as an individual. It's to boast in what's possible when you don't let your eyes off the mark. Two more episodes of witchcraft. One right before my leg and one right after my leg. Three in a row. Boom, boom, boom. That morning I got delivered. That night something grabbed my arm and tried to kill me. I've never hurt so bad in my life. My family came home and found me staggering in the house, going, as the deer path water. Cried and surrounded me and started praying in tongues. He said, what's going on? I said, it's just another lie. How long is this going to keep happening? How much do you... Stop, that's not the question. He is Lord. He's the answer. And I stood there, so intense. I got my little kids. You might not agree with this, but I got my little kids. I got this prophetic idea. I thought about Aaron and her holding up Moses' arm in the battle. I said, because I couldn't lift my arm. I said, kids, lift my arm. Lift my arm. They said, my daddy? Lift my arm. Ah! Oh, daddy, lift my arm. It's okay. It's okay. Just, That's how intense this stuff is.
Wow. You
better not love your own life. Hands raised high. I said, Father, I think raise Moses' arms. I worship you in the face of her, and if things start hurting worse. Oh. So I'm sitting on the floor, and I said, Holy Spirit, you're my intercessor and my best friend. Take my face to the Father and ask him to look to the right and see why I have the right. Because in my body, I can't take any more pain. I feel like I'm going to pass out. So
just asked the Father to look to the right. I got quiet. I felt like I was fading in His voice. Dan, you're such an amazing believer. You don't deserve this kind of pain. Dan, just go. There's things that can take the pain. It's simple. It's no mark against you. It's not a bad thing. Just go to the emergency room and get rid of the pain. You're such a believer. And it was talking to me like, who would still be sitting here? And guess what? My wife was hearing on the stairs looking at me with her big brown eyes. Kim, your husband is so bullheaded and stubborn, he's going to lay there and die in front of you and the kids, and you're going to watch. That's what she was hearing. You think this thing isn't real? Sounds like a different voice than I was hearing. Sounds like a setup to me. That thing sounded so good because I was in so much pain. And for the first time in my life, I learned what it meant to not be tempted more than you could bear. And I was just ready to say out of my mouth, Kim, maybe we ought to go get some help for this pain. And I looked up and she's looking at me hearing, he's going to die and you're going to watch. And I went, Kim, and I just said, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I can't say that. And I stopped. Deep down in my spirit, I heard this little whisper say, don't believe the lie. And I can't explain it, but this fire, it was fire. And it wasn't strange fire. It came burning up in me. I couldn't move my arm for 2.5 hours. It hurts me. And I went, and I stood up and I said, I will not believe the lie. And I yelled loud, dramatic. I know you believe me by now. And this is, I don't even talk like this. Guess what came out of my heart? This is my third assault of witchcraft in a row. How long will you, like an uncircumcised Philistine, stand in the field of my life and hurl threats at a child of the living God? And that thing went, it felt like a bomb blew. And all the pain blasted off of my body. And I was like, whoa, I don't usually tell all this stuff. I looked up and my ceiling opened up into a waterfall. Crystal transparent waterfall. Poured on me and splashed on me and pushed me to the ground. And when I stood up, I never felt like I had a pain a day in my life. I never felt like I was ever tired. I stood there. And if there was anything I ever wished I had on tape that came out of my heart, it was those next couple minutes, because I preached the glory of Christ out of my spirit while this waterfall was splashing on me. Guess where I saw that waterfall before? That little stint when I was in the hospital. And that cleaning lady came in. This is exactly how it happened. She's mopping that little area I'm in. And she stopped. And I looked at her and she stopped. And she said, this is exactly how it happened. It's messed me up. You, sir, are a man of God. I said, yes, I am. I'm not ashamed of myself. I said, why did you say that? She said, I backed into your room and I feel His presence. I said, that's a good thing because He's in me. I said, honey, what's going on with you? What's wrong with your body? This girl came in that loved me and knew me to visit me and sat down in a chair because she knew I was in there. She's a little denominational girl that has zero charismatic background. She knows nothing about nothing other than she loves me. She's sitting there. This little cleaning lady came over and she said, I said, honey, there's something wrong with your body. There's something they're telling you seriously wrong. She got tears in her eyes and said, they just told me I have a brain tumor. And it's not in a good place. I said, sweetheart, please give me your hand. And when she took my hand, it's the only time I've ever seen it in my life, the ceiling opened up and that waterfall fell on her. And when it was flashing, I'm the only person that could see it. I didn't even tell nobody I saw it. I just said, oh, the waterfall. Because people just think you're nuts because they can't see it. I didn't say nothing. But watch what I watched. As it splashed over her, it splashed. And every time it splashed to the young girl I knew and touched her, she went, oh, zero charismania background. Guess what happened to the brain tumor? I forgot all about that lady because it's just normal to pray for people and you lose track. I went in there on the sixth floor to visit somebody, but a year later, I turned the corner and here come the cleaning lady. I said, hey, do you remember me? She said, oh, I remember you. You're the man of God. She said, I tried to find out who you were. I said, how did you? She said, it left. It disappeared. It ain't there no more. I'm fine. Oh, just a sloppy man. That explosion. I'm telling you the truth, church. I went through that witchcraft. God blew that thing off of me. Submit to God, resist the devil. I'm not comparing me to you, judging you. Don't read into what I'm saying. I'm just telling you from that day on, it's like I passed some kind of thing and God stamped my forehead and approved. You could breathe flu on me all day and it ain't touching me. You can do. I don't get sick. I don't have no pain. I can't even tell you what that stuff is like. I don't know what heartburn is. I don't know nothing. I can't even explain it. I cry when you're not looking, and I feel like I've got to be the most blessed man on the planet. But I tell you what, I went through some stuff and tried to destroy me. And it's an attempt to break me. It helped make me what I am today. And this can sound weird to some of you. I wouldn't change none of it for a minute. I wouldn't rewrite one page. Because he's faithful. And it ain't about the problems I had. It's about the answer I've been given. I wouldn't change a thing. You know why? He's worthy of it all. You all hear me tonight? This is a hard cry to call us to a place that we're called to live. To start learning not to fear for our own lives. And if you feel that thing coming on you, don't get condemned. Just respond to God and say, Lord, you didn't create me for fear. I ain't loving my own life. It's not about me dying. It's about me living. It's not about me getting sick. It's about me prospering in your presence. Father, thank you for loving and start communing with God. Don't condemn yourself for feeling like you're falling short. Enjoy growing and being fashioned by God. Learn to talk to him and fellowship with him and let him put courage in your heart. Are you guys okay tonight? Was this too intense? Are you guys all right? Man, I came out slinging tonight. I've told you some stories I haven't told for a long time. But they're the truth behind what you see in me. That's my history in God. Just a little piece of it. But boy, it sure did good. Did you hear what I said a while ago? I wouldn't change nothing. Here. That furnace ain't your problem. Nebuchadnezzar ain't your problem. Let's get your eyes off of Jesus. That's a problem. When that king said, I'm throwing you in that fire, they said, what is your fire to us, O king? We have no need to answer you in the matter. What were they saying? It ain't about your fire. It ain't about us living or dying. It's about us never worshiping you because he is Lord. And we will not bow our hearts to any other king. Now they were Old Testament boys that understood. We live in a greater covenant with greater glory, with greater revelation. We probably ought to get it soon. Are you guys all right? And I hope so, because if you weren't, it'd be a shame, because I'm feeling right. I mean, Lord, if they just get a third of what I'm feeling right now, we did good. Because it ain't about preparing you. I've been walking with Jesus for a long time. He has nurtured me in the bedroom. He has come and fathered me. man, he's given me the great privilege to go through those things. I want to pray for people tonight, okay? I want you to have courage in your heart and have hope in your situation. You know, I prayed for my wife, and she had severe brain damage and was in a coma and on a respirator, and I got the phone call from the doctor that she was in a situation like that, and it was so amazing because I realized later I didn't even have the ability to go, she what? I didn't even have the ability to react. I didn't even know how. I didn't even know how to take the call literally. It was amazing. That's impossible. Except by grace. Here's what we do, church. We wait till the problem arises and we press in. No, you press in. And when the problem arises, the gospel defends you. If you're thrown in a situation and you're trying to apply the last message you heard from Pastor Chris, you're late. You become that message. And when you get thrown in that thing, the gospel defends. The word becomes flesh. You guys following me? I prayed for her for about 20 seconds. Because when there's such an extreme visual, the tendency is to look at the visual and look for change and wait for change. And some people have faith for that. I personally don't ever do that. When you have such an extreme visual, I pray believing God's bringing change. And if they respond, I've seen several people wake up out of comas. And it's an amazing feeling. Amazing. I saw one boy 6 weeks in a coma, non-responsive. And everybody in the city prayed for him. And this girl said, you haven't come and prayed for my boy. I said, I know. I said, I've been praying for him. Everybody's touched me. It ain't anything about me. She said, we respect you. We honor you. We want you to come. And I said, man, this is going to be a problem. Because if anything changes in that boy, they're going to point to the fact that I pray. And that gets to be a problem. Because then people make it about you. The trouble is, I got in there preaching Jesus, and this thing came on me called the gospel. I looked over and I said, David, open your eyes and look at me. And that boy went, looked right at me. Oh, man, you're talking about every hair standing up. Next morning, they had everything off of him. They said he would never be a young man again. He was going to be like that. He never played ball. He never nothing. And that mama had to contend. She stayed in that ICU. She prayed on him and prayed on him. He didn't just stand up and be whole. But he woke up. They said he wouldn't. They said he'd be incapacitated and non-responsive, brain damaged and everything. You look at that boy today, you cannot tell he was in a car wreck. It's a good story. It's a good story. That mama prayed. She went through some stuff. She labored. She prayed, God, I'm not letting go. The husband's not much of a believer, really, but he got touched with this one thing. But in that season, it was mama and her friends. God raised that boy up out of that thing. But when I prayed for my wife, and I said, you know, what I said, just prayed the kingdom over her, 20 seconds. I look down at her and she's still sucking that tube with her eyes closed, and that's a problem for us. And my question is, when do you just believe God? We think of his eyes. If her eyes don't open right away, we didn't get it, so we got to keep praying. And the next prayer is unbelief. Because you're looking with your eyes, thinking with your mind. Now you call it contending. What are you about just believing? I laid hands on my wife. My son's there, who's 14. He's overwhelmed. He wasn't ready for this. He's messing around behind the scenes. Life will slap you in the face when you ain't seeking Jesus. I'm telling you, life has no mercy. It'll slap you in the face. And you ain't expecting it. And you haven't been with him. And you take the hit. That's how it works. I'm telling you. He's so unprepared, but he's watching his daddy. And I popped my wife's eyes open real wide. And I said, hey, girl. And she ain't there. You can't find her.
somebody else's story. I was standing by the bed. God tells me stuff like this so you see what's wrong with me. You weren't there when she spilled grease on her hand and we watched Jesus take all the burns off of her hand and put new skin in front of her eyes. You weren't there when I crushed my boy's finger and God let me roll it like Play-Doh and it was completely restored. But I was there. Now what you gonna do with me? Lock me in a closet, crucify me, call me a blasphemer, say I'm demonized. They said that to Jesus too, but it didn't change truth.
Yeah.
I told you I've seen too much to change my mind. I just haven't seen enough. I haven't seen every young boy in an accident jump out of his chair. We need to see that. We need to keep believing for that until it comes. Because until our life looks like Jesus' life, we haven't arrived. It's time to stop fighting over doctrine and letting experiences speak louder than truth. It's time to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let Him lift us up and stand in courage and speak the gospel over every situation that doesn't look like a finished work. That's what you do. Because on that day, if I don't know what I'm teaching you, I'm in trouble. So I pop her eyes open and I say, hey girl, we're here to get you out of this nap. You may sleep it too long. That's just how I said it with a big old smile. Them nurses are so freaked out by me. They're thinking I should be wailing. They're thinking I should be all this other stuff. Because they see Christians that way all the time and watch loved ones die all the time. I'm being real. The doctor said, Dan, your wife's in a serious critical situation. This and this and this. She could die. We need a spinal tap. We need your permission. I said, Doc, listen. No disrespect, man. I honor you. You've been to medical school. Now's not the time for me to get a medical training, all right? I'm not there. I don't know the terms. I don't even need to know. I'm not a liability guy. I'm no threat to you. You do what you think can help my wife, and I'm coming in to do what I've been trained for. He said, what is that, sir? I said, I'm going to pray the kingdom of God over my wife, and you will see the glory of God. Raise her up. He said, well, sir, I'm the doctor and I have to face the reality of this situation. I said, I'm sorry, sir, you didn't understand what I said, but it's not your fault. Because you've seen countless people pray in times of crisis to no avail, cry and say all the right things with no results. I said, sir, I've been trained and equipped by the King. I'm not one of those folks. I'm not distraught. I'll see you soon.
Come
That's
on.
How I get it. It brings great results. My son stood with me by the bed and he spoke over my wife, his mother, and she's just sucking on that too. I looked at my boy and smiled and I said, you ready to go? We did what we came for. Mama's gonna be well. We got out in the hall and he burst out crying uncontrollably. He made a scene in the hospital, 14 years old. I said, son, shh, it's all right. I said, Mama's gonna be well. It ain't about Mama. Pushes me, he's frustrated. I'm like, man, now I'm confused. But I'm just figuring he's overwhelmed with mom. So it's you and me, Dad. It's you and me. There's a difference between you and me. I said, son, there is no difference. Stop. Shh. We're in a hospital. No, Dad, there is a difference. I said, son, we both have the kingdom. God will share for both of us. No, Dad! You don't see what I see! You don't see what I see! And I don't see what you see! And it fell on me. And I was rocking and went, wow, that's a revelation. I hugged him. I said, buddy, I see Jesus. Keep my eyes open. Living in my seeing high lifted. He's the Lord. He's amazing. He's way bigger than what's going on. I see Jesus. You can see Him too. I hugged him. We walked out of the hospital. Hour and a half later, she opened her eyes.
They ran an EEG. No brain damage, no effects of the seizure, no residuals.
Thanks, God.
No nothing. Oops. Coincidence, huh?
Yes, Lord.
Mercy of God? Absolutely. But there's something about having no fear. As I told you the other day, you have no authority over what you're afraid of. You guys alright?
Oh, yeah.
I'm done telling stories. Man, I'm on a roll though. She's still playing. Are you kidding me? I'm just playing. No, God. Are you kidding me? Do you still have fingers? You don't have to do. Are you okay? Oh, the eye was. Oh, my goodness. You've been playing. You just set a record. I mean, you don't have to keep playing. Oh, my goodness. You're amazing. See, it's her fault. No wonder I couldn't stop. Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. She's been so rich as she thought. I wanted her to keep playing. I just figured she was being a blessing, and I forgot she was playing. I'm so engrossed. What a gem you are.
Yes, he is.
Lord.
Well, pray for the sick, okay? You guys all right to pray for the sick?
Oh, yeah.
We have situations in the room that we've already touched and prayed for. Don't grow weary while doing. Don't turn from it. Don't say, well, we already prayed. You're not praying for healing every time you touch a person when you don't see change in your own body. If you haven't seen, who's ever had an experience and you've been praying for it in a symptom and you didn't see it leave right away and you were praying for it? So what you do is you begin a relationship to bless that situation and thank God for moving and for the blood and for his desire and will to restore things. And then in that place you just say, body, you behold, life will come. Jesus. I could tell you countless testimonies of people that got raised up like that. People we prayed for and saw nothing change but refused to let go. We saw a boy with spinal bifida who never even tried to crawl. The daddy's mad at me because when I prayed for the little girl, I told nobody to come to me for prayer in my home church. My home church. And everybody's watching YouTube and everybody's coming to the healing service from out of town hoping I pray for their child. And I said, guys, it's too overwhelming. It's too much. I don't even post my schedule on the calendar anymore because I couldn't get through the parking lot into the church. It's not a joke. Because I tell these testimonies and then people want me to pray. The last church I stopped posting my calendar, four families stepped in front of me with critical situations and cried and said, we drove for however many, 12, 15, 18 hours. Please, you need to give us time to pray. Like, okay, I love people. What do you think that does to my heart? Pastor hosts me in. We've got hundreds of people here. And I got all this stuff going on. I'm like, whoa, I think we're missing a point. Through my home church, I told them, don't come to me for prayer. I love you. You guys know that. But we're trained, equipped. Jesus is in the room. He is Lord. So I go over and I'm getting my stuff and everybody's honoring that. And they're all praying. And it's beautiful. I love it. God does neat things. This lady came over and said, excuse me, sir. I know what you said, but could you pray for my daughter? And I said, okay. I mean, she's 3 months old. It's like, captured. What a setup. You know, I'm not going to rebuke her. What are you coming to me for? I told you, you're in a rebellion. You need to go get in another mom. I said, what's up with your girl? She pulled back the blanket, and she has a little leg this long, and a leg as long as her leg should have been. Her foot was right around the base of her knee on the other leg. You get the picture?
Yeah.
She had a leg, and her other one, the foot, was right about the bottom of the knee. And I looked, and I'm like, wow. She said, is this for birth? She said, yes, by the name. I looked at her, and I said, you're an amazing woman. I said, you believe God? And just, I would fix her leg, rub her leg. She looked at me like, you're supposed to know that, you know. And she's like, amazing answer. So let me tell you why God does these things. I come about two sentences out of my mouth. I never pray. I look down and in front of our eyes, her leg turned into the other leg. Completely.
Come on.
They took her to the pediatrician that gave birth to the baby, and it rocked his world because he had her measurements on his charts. And she had this condition, and her increments and her measurements are perfectly normal skeletal system. In front of our eyes, her leg blew up into a normal leg. So either I'm making that up and I'm a cuckoo and I need ministry. Or that's what happened. You decide the time will tell.
Yes.
So she did what you or others would have done. She ran to the husband whose little spinal bifida situation, little boy, is being passed to our people, and our people are amazed. Our people are awesome. So are you. I just love our people. She ran watching. I went, oh, Jesus. I said, what's going down now? She went over. She pulls back the little baby because when it was happening, I said, honey, look at what God's doing for your little girl and don't drop her. Don't drop her. She took off running. She pulled back. He runs and snatches the boy right out of the hand of one of our people and came running to me. Oh my goodness, Pastor. We drove all this way for you to pray for our children. I see what he did for our daughter. You must pray for my son. I said, I can't. He said, what do you mean? See, some of you don't have the strength to say what I'm saying. I said, I can't. I said, I just watched what you did. You just snatched him out of the hands of our people. It's Jesus that heals, sir. If I touch your boy and anything changes, you'll say it's because I prayed. And then everybody else with a situation like you is going to try to track me down instead of us grow into the body of Christ.
Come on.
Yes.
I can't pray for you, boy. I'm not going to. I love you. I'll bless what they're believing. I'll bless what they said. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in his life. And he said, you must pray for him. You said no. He was a Middle Eastern fella. And he had broken English and he got really offended. And I said, listen, man, you're going down the wrong path, buddy. Yes, but God healed my daughter. You pray, and now you're not praying for my son. I said, Jesus healed your daughter. And your son was prayed for by how many of our people? Probably 20. I said, okay, that's probably enough. I said, listen, friend, you've got one response. You leave here rejoicing. And you leave here thanking God for what he's done in your girl and what he's raising up in your boy. That's your only response. Anything else is deception. Oh, you're not praying. I said, no. I said, hey, don't leave here deceived, man. He was breaking my heart for you. I could tell he was offended and he left. And I said, sir, he stopped. He says, what? I said, I have good news for you. We teach our people how not to let go. So whether you take my advice or not, you brought him to the right place. And he walked out of it. He drove 5 hours home. He's slamming luggage and clothes in the room. He says, take care of the kids. He says the whole way home, God. He comes back a month later. Pastor gets him up, share the testimony of the little girl, show her little legs. Talk about the doctor report. Everybody's boo-hooing. Yay, Jesus, you're awesome. And the little boy's just hugging the daddy while he's talking. He tells the whole testimony. And then he turns to me and starts to cry. And he says, Pastor Dan, I must ask you to forgive me. You've given me much wisdom. I do not listen. I don't want to listen. I feel robbed like my daughter healed and my son not, like we win but we lose. And I could not hear what you say. I leave and do everything you tell me not to do. I'm so mad. I'm mad for 5 hours in the car. God, why'd you kill my daughter and not heal my son? said, I get home and I throw my clothes and say to my wife, take care of the children. He's telling me the story like I'm the only one sitting there. He says, and I go into the room and all of a sudden I hear my wife screaming. And I go running. This little boy had spinal bifida. He's never tried to crawl, let alone walk. He said, I turn the corner and I look, and there is my son standing in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
He said, talk to his boy. Was this such a setup? You talk about bringing down the house. He sits him down and his boy runs tomorrow.
Wow.
And everybody was gone. When we finally started to recover, he finished the story. He said, I run into the room. And I look and there's my boy standing. I grab my cell phone, put it on video, and I record his first steps across the floor to the play box. My son has never tried to crawl, let alone walk. He said, Pastor, forgive me. And thank you for teaching your people how to not let go. I do nothing right. And Jesus healed my son.
Praise God.
You guys see what's wrong with me? I've seen too much, but I haven't seen near enough. I haven't seen folks just stand up when I know it's possible. It's not hard talking like that in front of people. It's just, she knows where I'm at with that. But if we're not seeing it, we can't change our mind. We've got to not grow weary in well-doing, and we keep blessing and believing, speaking life. Because in our tongue, it's death and life. Be very careful. It's your tongue. You all good?
Yes.